Cheers. Happy birthday to me.
Let's do a shot every time you mention your birthday. I don't have shots.
Oh, Lord. Get ready.
Get ready.
All right.
You might be able to do a shot every time I mention, say the words concussion or concussive blasts. That's a common one this episode. You'll see. All right.
Okay.
Sorry. Do the thing.
Do the thing. All right. Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge all things nerd, old and new. You'd think I would get better at this, but I think it's only gone downhill.
I think you're talking yourself out of doing better. You just were doing, but really good.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Brandon does truly do it better, and I wish I had his buttery smooth voice, but here we are. All right. You can find us on all of our social medias, and I've said this wrong, at Avengers Podcast.
Yes.
If you want any of our super cool merch, you can go to AvengersPodcast.com, and we've got cool stuff there if you want to see it. If you want to support us for free, you can give us a 5-star rating on any of your podcast platforms of choice. And if you have an extra dollar and you're like, I don't know where to give this, give it to Patreon, to the Avengers Podcast, Patreon.com/ Avengers Podcast, not the Avengers. If you're not watching this on an audio medium, you should be. I'm just saying.
Video meeting.
And what did I say?
Audio. Did you want to say audio or video?
Nope.
Because you were doing this with your tiara.
Yeah, I meant video. You should be watching this. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's on youtube.com/ Avengers Podcast. So find us, follow us, smash that subscribe button and the little bell to get alerts for whenever we have videos that come out, which is pretty much weekly.
You know what?
Weekly.
The 4 episodes that you've done the opening spiel since Brandon took his break, that was the best one. Even with the breaks.
It felt the most natural.
Yeah.
Because I think I was leaning into the I'm not good at this and Brandon is, and it's not the Brandon version, but it's the Emmy version, and it is the version that you're getting.
Self-deprecated humor gets us through things. That's perfect.
Yes,
you got to address it. That's excellent.
Yeah,
good job, Emmy.
But anyway, so thank you. I turned 35, and somehow I finally matured. Just kidding, I didn't. I was telling Keith earlier, I burped at lunch today. So you're welcome, everyone who had lunch with me. Happy birthday, me.
They all look at each other. They're like, it's her birthday. Just let her have it.
Yeah, just let her have it. Every other day, we do say something. You're a disgusting pig. But today, she's good. I do want to go ahead and give the spoiler alert. This is for X-Men 97, the animated series that started on today, that is my birthday. So X-Men 97, episode 1, to me, my X-Men. Keith?
Yes.
You are very excited to talk about this episode, and so I am very excited to hear your thoughts. And so I'm going to let you go first.
Do we do a Rotten Tomatoes or no? I forget.
I believe we do it after.
First. All right. See, this just goes to show you how much of a in one ear out the other my memory is.
Same, because I'm not 100% sure, honestly.
That's fair. This is a long-awaited, didn't-know-I-wanted-it-so-bad revival series 32 years after the original one premiered, which is crazy. So I feel old. But also, holy shit. This was so much fun to see. Like, I was a little nervous being like such a big fan of it as a kid. I watched a few seasons of it this last couple weeks just to see if just jog my memory of what it was like, and they can't do it the same way. Exactly, they're not going to be able to do it that way. Not only was the budget not there, but it was so much more melodrama involved, so it couldn't be done identically, but they picked the right stuff. And to bring all the nostalgia and all the member berries, as Brandon would say, they picked the right stuff, and they upgraded the other right stuff. The action's incredible. The animation is beautiful, and they got back so much of the same voice actors. You can tell a little bit that they've aged 32 years in their voice, but it's honestly, it's just great to have them back. I could care less, or couldn't care less. Yeah. But yeah, I was stoked. And these first two episodes are everything the X-Men should be, everything the comics are like. And I was so happy the whole time, ear to ear. What did you think?
Ear to ear. So after watching this first episode, and granted, we have seen two episodes, so possible spoiler alert for episode two as well, just in case if something slips out, just, you know, be cautious. I'm going to try not to, but I can, after this episode, just episode one, I can appreciate it, but it's not completely my cup of tea. I didn't watch, and I say that, I didn't watch the X-Men growing up, however, that intro seemed very familiar to me, and I have not watched the trailer. I forgot to watch the trailer.
That's perfect.
I have a note that says, I still need to watch the trailer. I'm behind, and I was still behind.
Or are we going to do a trailer react to that?
I mean, we can, because I haven't seen it. But I watched this first episode, and I was like, do I need to go back and watch the animated series from the 90s? Because, like, some of it, I was like, I don't, like, they were talking about Sentinels and the, what was it, the FOH, and I was just like, who, what, when the fuck did Professor X die? When did that happen? Did it happen in the animated series?
It did happen in the finale, graduation day, yeah.
Okay,
he did expire. Well, in a way, he's kind of brought back to consciousness after being in a coma, and then they realize that the only place for him to be treated is in this facility in space by the Shi'ar Empire, a friend of his from another alien race. It's complicated, but essentially he is carted off and not to return ever. So,
gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I'm excited. I'm excited to see how it interconnects, if it does. And if it doesn't connect with anything else, I'm okay with that. But if it does connect, I'm just kind of curious and excited to see how they do that.
Fair enough.
Like with the MCU live action that we've seen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess I should probably go back and watch the animated series.
I wouldn't even say you have to watch, because it's five seasons. It's like 20, maybe a little bit less episodes per season. It's a lot. And it's also a lot for, it was a kid's show. And if you don't want to go back and watch it, you don't have to.
I
think that our difference in enjoyment of this episode does hinge a lot on how much they brought back from that show. And it was just exciting for me to see again, because it was just so instilled in my brain. But there's videos on YouTube that can catch you up on story arcs and stuff like that if you want to see them. Then you get a taste of the show.
Gotcha.
You don't have to sit through the whole thing if you don't want to, because again, it was made to entertain children in 1992. Very different time.
I still have the mind of a child, so it would probably
maybe you like
entertain
it.
Me.
Maybe
yeah.
Like it goes by quick. I mean, 23-minute episodes, you could probably put them in the background or something like that, but you don't have to, is all I'm saying.
And I'm going to miss plot points, man. I don't want to do that. So we do have Rotten Tomatoes, Keith. I am going to make you guess, because it's my birthday, and I always make people guess.
Oh, man. If I'm basing it on my feelings about it, I'm going to say 94%.
Okay. All right. So you're very close. Critics gave it a 100%. Audiences, and this is, I'm assuming, just the first two episodes. Audiences have it at exactly what you guessed, 94%.
Wow.
IMDb. Damn. 9.0, and 96% of Google users like this show so far.
There you go.
I also have to say that I just got an alert on my Apple Watch that there's a guy on a dating app who just said happy birthday to me, and I don't know how he knows it's my birthday. So that's creepy.
Ooh.
I'm assuming he was like looking and oh, yesterday she was 34, today she's 35. Happy birthday. Sorry, that's weird, and that threw me off for a second.
That, if that's the only way he could know, then that is very observant. So maybe he's the right guy for you. I don't know.
Creepy. Very, very creepy. All right. I did want to say too, IMDb does break it down episode by episode. So this episode specifically got a 9.3.
Okay.
From IMDb.
Okay. Nice. These are all high praises. That's fantastic.
I know. 100%
I've been avoiding
from critics?
Everything. Yeah, 100% for critics is nuts. Like, when's the last time they gave anything 100%? Critics are
I think it was Thor: Love and Thunder. If it wasn't that, it was What If.
MOM.
Yeah. Oh, no. Actually, it was Iron Man 2.
Yeah, where are we at in that one? How is that not your first? Goodness.
Well, I was making jokes because the other ones.
Yeah, the other ones actually suck.
Well, yeah. Well, you don't like.
You like.
And I don't like. I did like Love and Thunder. All right, Keith, take us into this episode.
Okay. So this, like I said, this is coming out 32 years after the original story premiered, the original seasons premiered, but that would make it actually 27 years after the finale of the first run. Many characters came back, many actors came back to redo their voices. So Lenore Zahn redoes Rogue. Cal Dodd is back to do Wolverine. George, I want to say it's Buza, could be Buza, is doing Beast, which is one of my absolute favorite voices on the show. And a few others. The recasts that are there, I mean, the guy who did Scott did a great job. Totally new guy. Gene, I think, is a new person. And I believe Magneto as well, but he gets more into the second episode. So, anyways,
I'm sorry. We have to go by fake names because I was just like, who the fuck is Scott? That's
Oh, this is going to be tricky. Okay, that's okay.
That's Cyclops, right?
Yes. Let me replace all notes. I'm going to do find and replace the word Scott.
Well, now I know. So I should be good, but Bishop, I hadn't heard of him completely. So
true.
Does he have another name?
Lucas Bishop. He's purely called Bishop because this is his last name, so I'll just call you'll only hear him as as Bishop.
And like Storm, I didn't know her real name. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you.
No, it's okay.
They say it in the second episode.
Her real name, it's funny because they'll use, because it's not as though they have secret identities, like people know that Cyclops's name is Scott and the public is allowed to know that, but say a character like Storm, they more often than not will call her Storm even though her name is Aurora. Which is a very hard name for me to say sometimes. But yeah, one of the recasting I'd say makes the most sense is Jubilee, and she gets a lot of time in this episode, which is awesome. She was kind of the first. She was in Roberto's role that he plays in this first episode back when the show first started. She was a mutant on the run, an orphan who had run away from her foster parents and was taken in first. I believe she was running from Sentinels, and then she was taken in by the X-Men. So very similar kind of role that she's playing as the mentor figure to Roberto. But her character was originally voiced by a white woman, and she is a Chinese American character. So they changed that, understandably so. The original voice actor was Allison Court. So if you're Canadian, you might know the show The Big Comfy Couch. She's the person from
that. Oh! I used to love that show.
Oh, good. You guys got that? Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. It said it was a Canadian show, and I was like, I wonder. That's awesome.
I love that show.
It's a good show.
And then she would do the clock thing, and I would do the clock thing on my floor, too. Yeah.
Nice. Yep. She also voiced Lydia on the Beetlejuice cartoon and some character named Megan on Amazing Spies, but I had never seen that one, but... anyways, so it's nothing to knock that character, that actress, but the character is Chinese American, and they got a actress named Holly Chow to play her now. Because why not? Why wouldn't you do that? And so really, we don't need to break down the episode shot for shot. The first things that happen really in this episode are Roberto da Costa is being kidnapped and I guess human trafficked by these guys called the Friends of Humanity,
That's what FOH stands for. That was a question. Thank you very much.
And they are essentially about to, they've collared him with a power dampening collar, which was in the original series. It was used to enslave mutants. So they have some tech that they shouldn't, essentially. And some other tech is this big sentinel
and,
arm. Yeah.
And it was also used in Deadpool.
Yes.
Two with Fire Flame. Fire Crotch. What's his
fire
name?
Fire Crotch. Yeah. No, I think that's it. Is it okay. Isn't it Fire Crotch?
Fire Crotch, yeah.
Roberto Da Costa in the comic books is named Sunspot. Would you like to hear a little bit about Roberto's character? Because he is not very
yes,
often
please.
Used in media. But he's been in two live-action films in very small roles, but it was in X-Men Days of Future Past. He's one of the many young mutants that are trying to help them in the future fend off against these super sentinels. And okay. He does go full flame and try to take them on, but I think they have some kind of flame extinguisher on them and they just take him out really easily. It's a shame. What he's better done in is a very unknown movie called The New Mutants, which barely saw the light of day, where it focused on some younger characters from the X-Men comics meeting for the first time at a kind of less than honorable version of a X-Mansion, because it was all a ruse to bring in mutants and experiment on them. So that was a really cool movie, but it was pretty cool anyways. What's up?
Okay, I didn't see that movie, but did it have Maisie Williams in it?
Yes.
Who plays, yes, okay, and it also had somebody who turned into a bear? Had a bear?
Yeah, there's like a demonic bear spirit character that comes and attacks the mansion, yeah.
I've heard about it. I know about it.
Yeah, his character is the most developed, at least in live action versions, where you get to see the fact that he's from money, and he's really just fine with trying to hide that he's a mutant. He'd rather do that than actually be a hero or be a good guy. He's just an arrogant little teen. But yeah, what did you think of him in this episode?
You got that from this episode a little bit too, that he was just kind of an arrogant little teen. And I've got a jet too, and maybe I'll let you fly it. Like, gross, man. Like, she doesn't want to see your penis. Thank you.
And he's like worried about where his jacket is, and he's like trying to offer the X-Men money like that.
And then he gets away from them, and he's like, "Oh, my life's in danger. Let's go party. I want to go to this rave."
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful eyelashes though. Beautiful character, honestly. But his eyelashes. That was the first thing I noticed about him was. Damn, boy's got some eyelashes.
What's the lines at the end? Hot, rich, and young, or whatever. And he said, "You forgot single."
Yeah.
That was the writing of the show in general is quite good. I'm glad to see that it got such a high critical response, because there are some great lines in this show, both comedic and serious ones. There's some dramatic ones that are very, very cool monologues. But
I feel like some of it's cheesy, but I can appreciate that for the 97-ish value that it is giving it.
And in watching the previous seasons recently, it just jogging my memory, it was like a soap opera at times. Like, there were silly parts. There was mm-hmm. characters that are clearly meant to be comedic, but when you had like anything to do with Cyclops, Jean, and Wolverine's love triangle, it was always like super somber, ridiculous soap opera music, and just pining Logan in a corner. Very sad.
He's okay. I'm sorry, it has one, I didn't watch the animated series, right. Two, it's been a while since I've seen the movies, any of them, First Class on, all the way back to I don't know,
first,
whatever one,
first Hugh Jackman one, yeah,
we reviewed, yeah, which we reviewed not that long ago, but still memory is not great. So Wolverine is pining over Jean.
Mm-hmm.
That is a point that I forgot, if I knew it ever.
Well, they don't, like, they go into that in the Hugh Jackman movies quite a bit, but it never really, nothing comes of it. It's just it's always an unspoken love that he's never going to end up with her. That's not the right pairing at all.
No.
Because Jean in the comics and in every version does actually love Scott, but Scott's barely in those movies. So it's basically like, oh, I love you, but I can't have you. But where's your boyfriend? Is he captured again? Like, it's barely a problem.
I do seem to remember a scene that is Wolverine and Jean sleeping in a tent together at some point.
Yes. Mystique is messing with him. Mystique is messing with him and disguising herself as Jean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, she's like, I can be anybody you want. And then she starts turning into people that she thinks he might want, like Halle Berry and then Jean. And then she turns into his nemesis, which is this old guy named Stryker. And he says, just tell me what you really want. And it's like, I don't think he wants to make out with Stryker. That's, I mean, maybe.
Okay, that's interesting. But that also explains a bit of the pissing contest between Wolverine and Cyclops, which is very much their dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He doesn't think that Scott is deserving of someone as glorious and wonderful as Jean Grey. Is he? What makes him so great? I sound biased. I might have taken a side. I'm sorry.
Or even to be the leader of the X-Men now that X is not in the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that also, like,
yeah.
Dick measuring.
He does get in his face about that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because one of his lines is like, you know, the worst thing about Professor X dying is you. You're in charge now. I'm like, oh,
yes.
Shit.
Yeah.
That hurt. So moving into the plot, essentially the X-Men show up and kick the FOH's asses, saving Roberto in the process. One thing I have to say about this fight scene, yes, Storm and Bishop are featured, which is awesome, but the coolest thing was it feels like this show knows how many people find Cyclops to be kind of a wimp or kind of a lame character. And mm-hmm. so they're trying really hard to make him a badass. And he flies in this room like he's using his concussive blasts. See, I told you I'd say it. His concussive blasts can push him across the floor. And he can control how strong or weak they are by his visor. So if he just wants to skate across the floor and move people around and stuff like that, he can do that. Or he can blast a hole in a wall. So he's got, yeah, the fact that they're the action sequences kind of used his power in more ways than just a beam of power. It was kind of awesome because he's kicking a bunch of guys' butts while doing that. So I thought it was pretty neat.
Freaking laser eyes. I think I have questions about that later, but we'll get there.
You can ask them now if you want.
We'll get there.
Okay.
I feel like it works better sequentially.
Oh, fair. So the only other thing I wanted to say about that fight scene is that they actually get the visor off of him. And he kind of quakes in his boots for a second. He's like, oh, no, don't. I'll surrender. And he's like, not. And the not joke is very reminiscent of the 90s. So I really liked that. But also, they made Cyclops funny. And if he's been not only one of the first X-Men ever, but he's been at a school training how to use his powers, he shouldn't be nerfed when you take those off. He shouldn't, or not nerfed, but like powerless. He shouldn't be unable to open his eyes. So when there's nobody really innocent in the way, he can open them, essentially, I think is what the rule is, it seems.
Yeah, but how can he even see to make sure that there's no innocent people in the way? He
didn't
know.
That's true.
He'd open his eyes. I'm just saying. Plot holes.
That's
in the animated series. All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Before we move too far on, I do want to say, okay, this was the same intro, yes, from the X-Men animated series.
Yes. So the opening titles were redone. I'd say about 80% of it was just reanimated frames from the original intro, which was awesome because it's exactly what I wanted to see. I was like, okay, well, they're not gonna show us the original thing and then have the new, you know, episode suddenly be widescreen and show us like updated stuff. So they redid almost everything frame for frame, except they added Morph to the lineup of people. And did they have Magneto in the first episode or did they add him in the second? I feel like he was only in the second because he was like, revealed to be part of the team or whatever.
Oh,
I think that's what happened anyways. But yeah, the music is a little different, but I think even during the 5-year run that the original show was on, they did update and change the music a couple times. So that was a little different, but not in a bad way. I don't think it was
horrible. And you're talking about in the first episode to the second episode
of the new roster. Yeah, they added
the
Magneto.
Not the old. Okay.
Yeah, because I noticed that they added Morph, but then I was like, by the second episode's intro, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to skip the intro this time either. And I sat through it again. And I was like, oh, that's new. Yeah, they added something new. And Bishop. Bishop was never part of the original opening sequence because he just wasn't in the show very much. It was like one or two episodes, but they added him to the team permanently. So, yeah.
Okay, so I was like, I remember this. I remember this. And honestly, in 1992, I was too young. I know.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine me too young. But yeah, I was too young for that. Well, and even in 97 when it ended, I mean, I was 8. I was into Power Rangers. I was Power Rangers hard. But no, I recognized it. But then they got to Bishop and I was like, who the fuck are you? And then Morph too. I was like, the fuck? I don't remember you.
And Bishop had a mullet, and Morph had just he had more similar to his white guy with brown hair face that he has in the club later.
Mm.
Looks a little bit more like that, but a little more wrinkly.
Okay. We also saw a new Marvel Studios animation logo.
Yes, that was cool.
That I don't think we've seen before, have we?
I don't think so. Now I'm wondering if it was the beginning of every What If episode, but that's the only thing that I could think of. That
surely I don't.
I am so. Groot and What If are the only two other things. Yeah. I'm so glad that they did a different animation studio. This is a place called Studio Mirror, which is a South Korean animation studio that did this show. They've done a bunch of different things, including like a couple Mortal Kombat movies, Voltron, season of the Boondocks. Like they've done some great stuff, but it is a very different animation style, obviously, than What If, which
What
is
If.
Very respected. I appreciate that.
I thought the logo was cool. It was too much What if we're being honest. It was like, it showed some Spider-Man, and then I don't even know what else it showed. And then it was like, what if, and it was like,
Yeah. I think they ended with a What If part with Black Panther, because they are doing an animated series for Black Panther soon. So that'll be, I can't remember. It's called Tales of Wakanda or something. Maybe I could be wrong, but it's going to tell like the story of several different Black Panthers over the lineage of the mantle. So
did
it's going to be like,
did I know about
episode.
That?
We might have talked about it in passing before, but they haven't released a whole lot of information about it yet. So we've probably been holding off.
Okay.
Talking too in depth.
I think maybe I knew that there was going to be a Wakanda show, but I thought it was real life and not animated, but maybe I didn't. Maybe I'm a liar.
It's
possibility.
Okay. So after Cyclops's not joke, and blasting the whole lot of them, we cut back to the X mansion, I'll call it. Cyclops is trying to plead his case with the other team members, who've been kind of passive lately since Professor X's death, and Gambit is in his cutoff rock t-shirt, which I really like the way Gambit's dressed in this episode. His little cutoff, yeah.
People have already been talking about it in the Discord, and I'm okay. Gambit in a crop top. I'm sorry. He's not straight. He's definitely in the queer community somehow.
Oh my goodness. I'm sure he's bi. I'm almost that positive he's bi. Yeah.
Exactly. The fact that he's also cooking beignets for, it seems like for dinner, everybody just gets a plate of beignets.
These beignets needed me more than you did, mon ami. Yeah, I really like that line. That's to make sure you know right off the bat, if you haven't seen the original show, he is from New Orleans. If you didn't know, that's to tell you that, because he's talking like that and he's making beignets.
Well, I got
exclusively.
It. I did get it. Good Lord.
And then Rogue walks in and it feels like Dolly Parton is on the team.
Oh my God, what a good comparison. I love her too, honestly.
The voice actor would be older now, so you do hear a bit of that, I think, compared to the original series. But also she's like, you get to howling like a lonely kettle left on a fiery stove. I thought that was so, like, this is all very nostalgic.
Yeah.
She'd always have little roguisms, like that. And then Morph comes in, disguised as Professor X, and says, Cyclops, well, I trust that all my students would gladly die for my dream for a better future. We're both human and mutant. We're both human and mutant live free of your total disdain for fun. I would prefer it be avoided. Him just basically being whoever he wants felt a lot like, and this scene and a later one with Logan felt a lot like Loki in Dark World. Where he just kind of does all his friends while they're escaping. Yeah. It's a much more, I think, a much more like in the original series, he would pop up a few times. I think he dies in the first episode, then comes back and then dies again or something. But he's a character that didn't really get to be on the team very much because of that. He would just disappear and then he was a reason for everybody to mourn. So to see him not only in the show more, but also not having like this maniacal laugh after everything he says is really nice.
I've got a question.
Yep.
Was Mystique part of the original animated series?
Yeah.
Okay. So could it be possible that because they both basically have the same powers, right?
Yes.
That he was easy to kill off because you've still got Mystique to be able to be whoever she wants to be.
That's true. And I mean, Mystique has never, I don't think, has really played too many like good role. Like, she's not been a good guy on in the animated series anyways. But Morph went from being the good guy who dies in the first episode to coming back as a bad guy for a while. So he would like fuck with the X-Men and like cause drama by pretending to be each one of them and infiltrating the mansion and doing this other guy's bidding and stuff. So it was... It's gotcha. Like a shapeshifter, okay. More often than not, they are bad guys. But I think that having one on the good side of things is nice. And they did one of the things that the people were up in arms about when they heard about this show was that it was described that Morph is not only non-binary, but has an interesting relationship with Logan. And people were like freaking out, but he was both those things. And I was like, oh, if they're non-binary, that makes sense. If they're able to shift between genders all the time, mm-hmm. and they choose to do that and be non-binary, then like everybody, like the comments that I was seeing, the majority of the people I'm in groups with and stuff were very positive about it. People were more upset that he has an interesting relationship with Logan. And I was like, leave him alone. Logan needs
I some. Feel like, well, and all the characters have an interesting relationship with Logan because Logan's a bit of an asshole and he's in a pissing contest with Cyclops and all right.
This is the Wolverine. When I say that Wolverine shouldn't be like Hugh Jackman's version, this is the one I want him to be like, where he is a gruff and tumble small guy and he's an asshole. And I want that from my Wolverine.
I feel like they did showing him as a smaller guy. There were multiple times in this episode specifically that I noticed it was like, no, he's a little weak. short king.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a short little asshole, isn't he?
Exactly. Yeah, he's a wee little ass. But yeah, that's why I think Daniel Radcliffe would be awesome. I'm still rooting for him to.
I don't hate it, honestly. I think it would be. I'm in. I'd be down.
It'd be like a challenge, but for him, I mean, but I don't think I don't think any role at this point after seeing the millions of movies he's made. Well, not millions, but you know what I mean? Movies he's made since Harry Potter is like, he's trying to play every role under the sun, which I like.
Yeah. And he's doing a fantastic job, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
I am the number one supporter of the Daniel Radcliffe fan club.
Nice.
Yeah. He's just a cool dude.
Yes, yeah, super, super sweet.
In this little scene, I'm gonna say, all right, the red sunglasses on Scott make him look like Matt Murdock.
Yes,
and I know we've been reviewing Daredevil, and so maybe that's why it's top of mind. I had, we already kind of talked about it. I had a little bit of an issue with Gambit's accent.
Yeah, was it just nice? Not that good.
I don't know. It was like, I think the same kind of thing with Jubilee. Like if he was truly Cajun or Creole, I would be okay with it, that with the actor playing that, that accent. And I looked him up and he's from New Jersey. And I was just kind of like, that
the
just,
wrong
and
new.
It just kind of gives me the ick a little bit. Yeah. And so yeah. I don't hate it, but it's not my favorite thing. And what obviously, think, like, yes, the character is from New Orleans, and I did get that.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think that when I was first, the first episode anyways, I was listening to see, because I didn't really do the research of who had returned and who hadn't until after watching it. I was trying to see if I could tell who was actually reprising their roles. And I didn't know if Gambit was the same guy because it sounded so much like him, the original actor. So I'm wondering if they just found a guy who does a good impression of that first voice actor instead of finding someone. Maybe they couldn't. Maybe they couldn't find someone who was both, but like that's maybe it's just a trickier voice to do. But with Jubilee, it felt like it was both the original character, and then upon research, I was like, oh shit, I didn't expect that. But maybe I'm not remembering her voice as well.
But that's a good point, because like for What If, for Robert Downey Jr., they didn't have Robert Downey Jr., but they had a person who did a damn good impression
from New Jersey.
I don't know. Ooh.
Sound but off like, in the comments if the guy who did Tony Stark was from New Jersey.
Honestly, I bet. I would bet money. Now I'm curious. You keep going. I'm gonna Google.
Well, I was just gonna the thing about the show in general that kind of keeps the rhythm going with each episode is that there's so many characters, so each character gets usually one line per scene, and it shows a little bit of their personality, as well as they usually end up showing a little bit of their powers, especially if you're doing a first episode of a season. So Gambit charges up the beignet with his powers, and Rogue's carrying all these stacked plates with her super strength, and then Marv coming in as Professor X. It felt very reminiscent of, okay, this is what it's like around the X Mansion, is that everybody's got these superpowers, and that's what's so much fun about, you know, it'd be so sad if they weren't, anytime they weren't fighting crime, they weren't showing that they were also mutants in their day-to-day life, you know what I mean? It's just kind of, it's cool to throw both those in there. And then Jean comes in and saves the day and throws Remy's charged up beignet out the window, and it explodes, and we cut to a different scene.
Seems like he's from Southern California. I was wrong.
Oh.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's all right. Who? The only voice actor for Gambit or the voice actor for Tony Stark?
Tony Stark.
Oh, okay.
The voice actor for Gambit is from the New Jersey, New York area.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay, so we cut to Roberto da Costa waking up in Beast's lab / infirmary. And like I say, the Beast character is one of my favorites, one of my favorite voices, voice actors. He also voiced a kids' educational series when I was a kid. I actually acted in it, called Voyage of the Mimi, that taught like survival skills and stuff. And it was like grade 4. We sat in a class and watched this like little mini series about these kids who got shipwrecked with an old sea captain. And they teach how to like collect condensation on the outside of a tarp so that you can have water, fresh drinking water. And they just teach all these silly things, but he had such a great voice for it that it was like teaching all these different little science lessons. It was like, this guy's great. So,
okay. Yeah. That's awesome. Life is wild up there in Canada.
It's nuts, man. You don't even want me to tell you about the talking pineapple that taught us French. What the fuck? You don't need to hear about that.
I very much do, honestly.
I don't remember the name of the show, but they referred to him as Anana, because I believe that is the word for pineapple.
It is?
But yeah, it's just some kids talking to a puppet pineapple and doing a bunch of French songs and stuff for kids in grade 4, which was very strange because it felt like something for kids in grade 1. So I think we were getting the French immersion schools, because we didn't have to start learning French in English speaking schools. We didn't have to start learning French until grade 4 on. So they must have just brought over the tapes from the younger classes. It was very strange.
That is that's awesome. When I was in high school, I learned a little bit of Spanish from a Spanish soap opera called Destinos.
Called what?
And they Destinos. It means destiny in Espanol.
I thought you said Dusty Nose.
Dusty Nose, yep.
I guess that's a good way to remember it.
Destinos. Yeah. And it was all about, I think it was like some old guy died and his daughter was coming back. It was like, it was truly, I think, a soap opera. I have looked it up since then and it does try to teach you Spanish, but it was like, I was like a sophomore in high school and I was like, I don't know what the fuck's going on because I don't understand Spanish at all, but this is riveting.
Yeah. You get those teachers that really like to throw on a VHS. They're like, I'm drinking my coffee and I just don't talk to me until this video is over.
I Senior Smith, shout out to you.
Oh. Hey, señor. Hola.
Thanks, stupid.
Beast,
He's an asshole, but I love him.
The thing I liked about Beast's character always is that he's very science and tech minded, but he's also very sophisticated taste in movies and in poetry and literature and stuff. So and he's listening to Mozart. He brings up he says both the terms nom de guerre and he says simian analogies. And he actually like when they ask Storm and Cyclops come in and ask how DaCosta's doing, he says, besides a cavity and a layman's existential fear of metaphysics, Mr. DaCosta is in perfect health. And I was like, this is Beast. This is so Beast. It's perfect. Like that's the type of shit that as a kid you would need to look up to understand if you're like, you know, in sixth grade watching the X-Men, you're like, I'm learning from a blue guy. This is just it was just nice. Plus, he sounded like the Voyage of the Mimi guy, so it was like double learning from the same man. Jubilee, do you have any notes on Beast or this scene?
I like Beast. He seems like an intellectual, and I like that juxtaposition of his just the whole demeanor in all of it, that he's like this big brute guy. And
Yeah.
he's just like, but actually, I just want to listen to Mozart and talk about like fine wine. And like, he's like a sensitive, like lovable teddy bear. I like him.
Yeah, he is definitely one of those characters that like in deeper comic runs, I find that like characters like Cyclops or like Beast, you find out that oh, they've done wrong and they'll have character arcs where they do something really terrible that has terrible consequences and you're just like, "Wait, what? Beast? He's so harmless. He's always on the right side of things." And then yeah, you find out he like messed with time travel and fucked everything up one time.
That was on accident.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. Jubilee becomes DaCosta's kind of guide around the mansion because they're closest in age and she was kind of in his shoes not too long ago. DaCosta tries to offer them money. Jubilee calls him an arrogant yuppie, which I loved. And then when they say, is there anything to do around here other than listen to Mozart? Jubilee does her classic chewing gum bubble blow, which if you see any comic book that had Jubilee on the cover, she was probably blowing a bubble. And then they cut to the danger room where she's essentially trying to kill him, I guess. Yeah.
They have the same kind of thing in 50 Shades. I don't know if you've seen it.
They have a danger room in 50 Shades of Grey?
I think that's what he calls it.
That was good. That was good.
Thank you. Thank you. And he's like, look, I'm going to show you my danger noodle.
She's like, this is just a simulation, though, right?
Yeah.
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 Okay, sorry. Yep, stupid joke that I wrote as a note.
I bought it, too. I forgot what those movies were about until it came out of my mouth. So in the danger room, we get a bit of a refresher of an introduction to Magneto as well, which I thought was very clever to not have him in the episode actually, but just kind of show that he was their big sworn enemy. Yeah, Jubilee gives a quick rundown of how he was Professor X's ex-bestie. And then Jubilee is trying to find out what Roberto can do. Can you fly? Can you teleport? Can you shoot gold balls from your body? That'd be weird. This is actually a jab from a current X-Men character in the comic books named Gold Balls.
No.
Yeah. There is a character named Fabio Medina, and his power is he emits various sized gold balls from his chest. Yeah. As many as he wants. And he can either calm down and they all disappear, or he can like suck them back in somehow. I've never read a comic with him in it.
I know how you can suck the gold balls back in.
I want a gold ball now. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure though, gold balls, they took that from one of the Austin Power movies.
Was that the name? Yes. Gold. Yes, that guy. He's eating his own crusty skin. What a great character, Mike.
I don't remember a lot about the Austin Power movies.
The third one had some great moments, but that was not that additional character was one that I didn't need him to play. I was like, please stop. And that's why they didn't make four.
Is this the second episode in a row that we brought up an Austin Power reference?
Probably.
I think it is.
Yeah, that sounds like us.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Beyond that, we have Wolverine jumps down and tackles Roberto because he's sitting there mocking the danger room and how it's not that scary. And then Wolverine says, they shut down the simulation and Wolverine's still actually there. And he says, scary enough for you. That was a terrible impression of him, but no one can do it but Cal Dodd, apparently. We cut to a scene, a shot of the original five X-Men members and a nice portrait on the wall in Professor X's office. Scott and Jean are talking to Dr. Valerie Cooper about the guy who created the Sentinels the first time around. And do you have any notes?
I didn't know her name was Cooper until... Okay. I think maybe the second episode they call her Dr. Cooper, and I was like, still don't know who the fuck you are. I thought maybe for a second she was the lady that turns into ice.
Oh,
what's her name?
There's Frosty. Emma Frost, which in those movies they did her power set kind of weird,
like diamonds instead of Frosty.
Yeah, diamonds. And I don't even know that she can do that in the comics, at least not to that degree. She's just a telepath. She's a very strong telepath. So it was kind of weird to see her turn into diamonds. I was like, odd. Yeah. They like to fuck around with powers sometimes.
yeah down whatever. It was pretty, very pretty.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We did get a mention of Madripoor here, which is what
we
kind of started my I forget who says it, but somebody's like, oh, so and so hasn't been seen since Madripoor, and it might be the guy who did the Sentinels originally.
Oh yeah. Boulevard Trask. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Now it's making me wonder if Madripoor has ever been in the original X-Men series.
I honestly, me too. I know that based on our conversations during Falcon and the Winter Soldier, that it has definitely been in the comics as a place that Wolverine has been to.
Okay.
And then we also got the mention for, spoiler alert, for the trailer for Deadpool 3. We did get the mention of Madripoor and then the back of somebody's head that was ridiculous, that we believed could possibly be someone who is an X-Men. And I'm not going to say who it is, because if you weren't quick enough on the skip forward button, I don't want to ruin anything for you. And I know we have some listeners who don't watch trailers, and I don't want to be that person. So
That's fair. I'm going to become one of them right after the next trailer we watch. they go into some brief X-Men series lore talking about Boulevard Trask. He created the Master Mold Sentinel to create more advanced mutant killing machines. That's essentially the thing to remember about the name Trask, is he is the guy who creates the Sentinels. So if he comes up again, there you go. Okay. When Dr. Cooper seems too busy to look into the threat for more Sentinels, she asks for a little trust, and Cyclops quotes the professor saying, trust happens when actions meet words. I like that saying. I wrote it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like, I'm not going to trust you until you do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah, because it's like,
I don't trust you.
People talk, and it doesn't really mean anything. You got to do the thing you say you're going
to
do.
Basically.
Yeah,
basically actions speak louder than words, is absolutely what you just said. Yeah,
the exact same thing. It's like when Tom Holland says the with great power comes great responsibility line, but he completely changes every word in the sentence so that you can't really tell he's saying it. In Civil War, he says, "Well, you can do what I do, and then the bad stuff happens. It's your fault."
Oh, yeah. Okay, I thought you were trying to talk about, spoiler alert again, Madam Web, when they completely butcher that and they say, "When you take responsibility," no, when you.
When you sign on to do a movie.
When you take on this much power, there's great responsibility or something ugh. Stupid like that. It's like, oh, God, bleh, no.
I think after the events of No Way Home, that saying, that phrase should be put to bed for good.
Yes,
no one needs to say it anymore. They bonded on that roof where they all mentioned that their Uncle Ben had said that once. That should be it. That was great.
Yeah, yep. Although, you know, if you do say it with great power, comes great responsibility.
Yes. So say it right.
Yeah.
Cyclops confides in Jean about how the team doesn't really listen to him like they would Xavier, and Jean reminds him that Xavier would sound like what she reminds him of what Xavier sounded like and what Cyclops used to vouch for, which was the quality of life and fun, and if there's no quality of life, then what are we defending in the first place, kind of thing. Somber music that the comics in, like, the soap opera kind of feel is the note that I have here, because this is the type of scenes that you'd have that in the original series. If not, the soap opera music would be in scenes that didn't even make sense to be in. It was just so much melodrama in the original show. So the fact they toned that back, I was like, that's a good call. Just for modern audiences to not be so, I don't know, bored, I guess.
Okay.
It was a good blend. Yeah. But yeah, Jean says that they should leave the team, that their son needs them more, and that deep down Cyclops knows that. She tells him that it's okay to let go. The moment is broken up when Jubilee is calling Wolverine a jerk, and a basketball comes flying in through the window. It turns out the Wolverine has scared off DaCosta. Cyclops puts his foot down, telling them all to go after him, scolding them a little bit in the process. Logan pushes back, and Cyclops stands his ground, and it's Jean's voice, as usual, that gets Logan to fall in line, but not before saying to Scott, "Want to know the worst thing about the professor being gone? You." It's like, ooh!
Yeah, basketball. That's a burn. That's a roast. That's a roast. So they're pissing contest here. They're playing basketball.
No.
I bet I'm better than you, whatever. No powers, whatever. Cyclops is having a boy. Brandon's having a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I focused on in this moment. I think also maybe I was messaging you and letting you know that I was going to be a little bit late. And so my brain was not there for a second.
It's okay.
I'm sorry. That's Nor fair. Were my notes.
I was thinking about that every time Cyclops and Jean were in the same room together, was that this is Brandon and Renee. I was like, yeah. It's so funny to me that Brandon loves Cyclops so much, and he's the one having the baby in the two episodes.
Yeah. Yes. And
If he hasn't seen them yet, I assume he's gonna freak.
He's gonna.
He's gonna be like, that's fucking weird.
Brandon and Cyclops.
Yeah.
Babies, same day, my birthday. What? Whoa. But yeah, there's a part of that. What did you say?
I said it's meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Vanilla Square. No, there's just part of that relationship though, and this is not me comparing Cyclops and Jean to Renee and Brandon.
Right.
But Cyclops and Jean to me are just so bland and vanilla that part of me is like, whenever they're on screen, I'm just like, I don't care. I care. But also, my brain's like, oh, it's cool. You can do other things. There's this vanilla couple talking.
That's fair. That's what I mean when I say, like, I think they tried to badass him up a little bit. And they do with her a little bit in a minute in a soon upcoming scene. But yeah, you're right. They've never been the core favorites, I think, for a lot of people. Like, people mostly like, you know, the side characters, or they like Wolverine. Obviously.
Yeah. Like the asshole, like, that's interesting.
Yeah. It's like an anti-hero.
Gambit over there in a crop top. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Rogue's over there, time, Dolly Parton.
Yeah, Rogue, man. I love Rogue. And honestly, I think Rogue might be my favorite. Like, fucking touch me, bitch. I swear. I want that power.
All the things she'd learn from you by touching you once. There you go.
Yeah. Well, but it just, yeah. If I was her, I'd be like, fucking try it. Fucking try it. You feeling froggy, bitch? Oh. Anyway. Okay.
So we cut to them walking up in the club. Five of them walk in. Morph is doing this little like West Side Story snap, which
I didn't
really
see
fun.
That.
He's like, they all walk in. Jubilee is starting to sway to the music instantly, and Morph's just doing that. It's pretty funny. They fan out to look for Roberto. They don't want to cause much of a disturbance. Rogue and Gambit rekindle their age-old dialogue about how she can't get close to someone and dance like these kids out on the dance floor. And he says that any man who isn't willing to get close to you is a coward, essentially. And it's very sweet. And they have their little eyes and their little hands moment. And they hold each other's hands. Oh, it's so sweet.
Gambit's fucking eyes creep me the fuck out.
He's one of my favorite characters for his eyes. Like, love that character design.
It creeps me out. It truly does creep me out. Whenever he's, especially like right when he's looking, not into camera, obviously, because it's animation, but like when he's like looking and it's like just like a close up of his face, I'm like, yeah.
I think there's one coming up in episode 2 for sure. And meanwhile, Morph and Wolverine are down the lower level of the club, and Morph is kind of giving Wolverine some odd counsel about his differences with Cyclops, and he's rekindling that age-old dialogue that Logan is always being the third wheel to Cyclops and Jean. Morph turns into Jean, lampooning her a little bit, making fun of her, and he says... weirdest part of the episode, don't like this part. You might have a note for this part, I don't know if you do. When he's Jean, he bulges out his pregnant belly for a second and it makes like a ballooning sound. That is the 0.4, 0.5 seconds of the episode I did not enjoy. I was like, that was weird, because he's like, boom, and he like pushes it and it grows a bit because he's a shapeshifter. And I was like, I don't like that. That's weird. But call me crazy.
Okay. Well, I didn't. I think at this point I was like, I think at this point, either I was writing a note of Gambit's eyes creep me out, or what the hell are Jubilee's powers? Yeah. I would like to be able to make fireworks too. Like, that's cool. It's cool. But like, how does that help you in a fight?
Exactly. It's funny because like, she's a good example of like a character who's young, impressionable, and needs to learn to control them just in case, because they can be probably dangerous in some scenarios. But on the team, unless they've changed her much in the comics, I don't think her powers amount to much more than a distraction. So she is on the team, I think full-fledged in the last season of the original series, but I couldn't tell you what her greatest...
this is the credits.
Yeah.
And they click on, it's like an old computer. Like old web browser
from the original show.
Yeah.
That's exactly how they ended the series. Yeah. I forgot that they even did that until I got to the end of the episode. I was like, holy shit, they even put this in. That's so funny. Yeah.
That does make it pretty cool. But it says under her, like, explodes shit or something like that. Does explosive stuff. Pyrotechnics.
Jubilee explodes shit. Yeah, I think it is fireworks, essentially. Gambit has more of a control over his kind of thing. It is similar, where he can like charge something like a grenade almost. So he can throw anything and it's an explosive, whereas she just creates fireworks from her fingers.
God, fuck me. I really thought that he just had like really good aim. Like Bullseye in the first Daredevil movie.
He's good at that too. He's very skilled. He was raised by assassins or thieves. Sorry, he was raised by thieves.
But that's not his power. He can also fucking explode shit.
Yeah. Yeah, he can charge things up and then explode them whenever he wants, essentially. Yeah.
Cool. Guys, hey, if you've sticked, if you've stuck with us this long with me being the absolute ignorant asshole that I am about the X-Men, I appreciate you, and just know like that is a fantastic birthday present for me, and I'm sorry. I will learn and I will get better, okay?
Oh my goodness. They got 3 seasons of this coming out. They've already greenlit it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the second season at the very least, I think the third season is in talks, but they also fired the director this week for reasons unknown. So,
I bet they're not good.
I bet they're not good too, because he seemed to make a banger of a show and then they fired him. So yeah. It must have been really bad. Yeah.
Critics with 100%. Shit. Ew. Shit, man. Lawyer up.
Wolverine shares his instincts that Jean and Scott are clearly going to leave the team. Some Friends of Humanity assholes enter the club, and Wolverine perks up the rest of the team to make sure that they notice. Jubilee makes an agreement with DaCosta to join him for one dance if he promises he'll leave with her. They talk for a bit about heroism, and DaCosta just has no real interest in doing that. He doesn't want to be called one. He asks why should he waste his life on fighting some bald guy's dream of peace. Logan, Gambit, and Rogue join up with them, and they mention that the Friends of Humanity guys ran off, but not without leaving behind one of their weapons, which I thought that they were going to take back to the mansion to have like analyzed or something or looked at, and then Rogue just Beast. Crushes it.
Yeah. Beast 100%. And at first he hands him a hat and says they left one of their weapons, and you put this hat on this kid's head, what is it going to explode?
I think he goes, they left behind one of their little toys, and then he puts a hat on DaCosta, and I was like, but is it there's also a blaster. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, Beast totally should have looked at that and tried to figure out something.
Yeah. He could have just, even to just find out how to deactivate them easily or something. I don't know. Maybe they got other plans, but well, clearly they do, because the next scene is Cyclops, Storm, and Bishop interrogating Henry Gyrick, who was funding the Sentinel program, and he worked for the Defense Department. There's a lot of like politicians and scientists that are just human bad guys throughout the series that are doing shady deals and shady things, because at its core, the whole thing is humans versus mutants, and accepting it's, you know, a big allegory for racism and bigotry in general.
Which stay tuned.
Oh yeah.
Episode 2. That is one of the things that I really, really enjoy. And there's a couple points here that I want to point out about it too, but
oh yeah.
Not here specifically, but just in this episode as well.
One of the best lines in this episode, I think, is in this scene, and it comes from this guy because of that topic and when they bring that up. He works for the Defense Department. Cyclops offers him a reduced sentence if he tells them where Trask is. Gyrich antagonizes them a bit, and Storm says that his plan ended up softening society's views of mutants, and he says, oh, did it? No, you're in vogue, Storm, a fad. Look at my mutant friend, in quotes. Yeah. Look at my mutant friend, but under all that fashionable sympathy, normal people know the more room we make for your kind, the less we have for ours. This line is dialed into so well to what the show is and what the comics are about, and it's essentially fighting bigotry and the idea that there isn't enough room for both of us. It's bullshit. It's literally straight from the ideals of the great replacement theory, essentially. It's just, it's an asshole way of thinking, and it makes me so mad.
It's not fucking pie. Less space for us does not mean more space for them, or more space for them does not mean less space for us. And I don't even like the terms us and them, or like normal people. Fucking hate that term. Normal, like when someone says like, oh, this regular kid or this normal kid, talking about like someone who's not one of my students who's in like a special ed program, I want to throw something. I'm like, they're all regular kids. Some of them just need more support. Some of them make really, really bad decisions. But sure. The language around it, and the just like, it's not pie.
It's not pie, especially key lime pie.
No, because there's enough of that to go around already. To everyone. And already. Especially the little, it's the little mini ones from Publix. Like, they're very small. We cut them into 6 slices, but, like, a slice is, like, that big.
Oh, God. That's not enough pie. So if anything, we need more pie. That's the way I look at it. It's nice to see that the show goes back to its roots that way, because it is like like the X-Men comics, that is their biggest storytelling factor, and you can apply a lot of the things that are said in these scenes by in these episodes by these characters who are bigoted. The fact that you could apply that to race, you could apply that to the queer community. There's kids. So many
identity, yeah.
Yeah. He says so many later ways to moment. Other. Yeah, yeah, exactly. His last line in this moment, he says, "We might wear tolerance on our sleeves now, but we know the naked truth. Tolerance is extinction." And that is essentially, that's what I mean when I say the great replacement theory. That is exactly what they think. And they've that theory has been behind a lot of terrible attacks and just mayhem. So in my opinion, damn, that's good writing. Fuck that guy. Way to write a villain. That's what I like from my villains. Real life stuff being used in fiction. And just feeling like you're on the right side of it. You're rooting for the heroes.
Those people not realizing that there's more that connects us as like humans than there is that divides us as subgenres of said humans.
Yeah, yeah. And you hit the nail on the head. There's a great another monologue really in the second episode that we can get to eventually. But he tells Cyclops that he's no Charles Xavier, and again we get some badass moment from Cyclops in this episode again. He goes, "You're right. I am no Charles Xavier. He'd do everything in his power to save you." "Save me from what? You?" "No, but have you met my wife?" And I love that line because she comes rushing into his brain using Cerebro. She's a force to be reckoned with. She has the power to just bust through his thoughts and get the answers they need anyway. But they didn't want to go that route. They wanted to give him the opportunity to just tell them where the mass destruction weapons are. Yeah. What'd you think of that?
There's very little that can redeem and or make Cyclops less... for me,
great job in this episode.
That line was one of them. I like that he was like, okay, I don't have to, yes, I'm in a pissing contest with Wolverine. I don't have to be in a pissing contest with my wife. She's fucking badass. Wife or baby mama, whatever she is. Wife?
Wife, yeah.
Okay. And so, both. Yeah, I'm... like that. Yeah, wife and baby mama. If I chose to have children, that is how I would want to be addressed. I would get a divorce just to be called baby mama.
with BM for short. So Jean has a childless vision while using Cerebro, which is just crazy cool, and another thing that I think that they'll explore later, which I'm excited for setting up that thing.
But is it safe for the baby?
That to be using Cerebro, I agree. I don't know that she should, because that thing, she's not as trained as Professor X was with using it, and her telekinesis and telepathy. I don't know. He's just more of a telepathy guy, so I don't know, man. This is fiction we're talking about. I assume it's dangerous because fucks her up in the movies too, if you remember. Yeah. It's like poison it or something that one time.
I don't remember that. Sorry.
It's okay. So she sees that her child has been born already. It's in her arms. There's whirling sand that turns into a guy saying, "No, not again. I'm so sorry." And then Master Mold comes out of the ground looking like a big zombie and declaring that he is death and he's destroying the world. Jean snaps out of it, and they have their coordinates essentially. She doesn't talk about it to anybody. But Wolverine on the Blackbird says that he wants to send Trask back to the UN in little pieces. And Storm says that there'll be no dismembering. And he says, no, not dismembering. Weight loss. Which I thought was cute. Cyclops asks him if he can fall in line and take orders. Wolverine replies with some dig. And then the ship gets hit by a Sentinel, and out of nowhere, Cyclops is yanked out of the driver's seat, which the action sequences in the show stunned me. Every time I was like thinking I was watching the old show because of all the member berries and everything, and then suddenly you just get reminded that, oh shit, this is a much more advanced animation. So it was cool to watch the old show right before this just to see that difference, because the action sequences are so much better in this because they can just do more. And there's been What's that?
That's a good note that I need to keep in the back of my brain, because I don't know the old show. And so the fact that there's a stark difference that you're calling out, I need to remember that, because
I'm excited for you that you're enjoying this show for the first time without that reference too. So I'm excited to talk to you about episode two because of that reason too, because it sounds like you liked it a little bit more.
What? How dare you?
It's on your face. And then, yeah, everyone's falling from the destroyed ship, and we see the team spring into teamwork mode, something the X-Men always do best. And when you see that in the live-action movies, that's when they do the X-Men well. It's like everybody's got their powers, and they're telling each other what to do, and they work together, which is really cool. So, yeah, Morph turns into Archangel and flies and saves Logan. Morph will always turn into characters from the comics. So if you don't know who the hell he's supposed to be, just ask, because I'll tell you.
Okay. I saw Wings and thought Hawkman. Hawkboy.
There you go. Hawkboy is from DC. So there you go.
Oh. Different really? Universe.
Yeah.
Is there not a Hawkman in Marvel?
If there is, I don't recall. There's a lot of birds in DC. There's Hawk and Dove, and then there's Hawkman, and then there's Hawkwoman. There's a lot of birds over there. There's Robin. They got a lot of birds.
Yeah.
They had a whole movie called Birds of Prey, which didn't have any of those characters I just listed. It had five other characters. So there you go.
And no birds.
And no fucking birds.
I think I was thinking of Hawkeye.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, they've got names.
I will see myself out.
There is Falcon.
Ah.
That's probably closer. Yeah, Angel is one of the five original X-Men. So Angel has many different versions of himself. Well, he's gone through times where he's had blue skin and metal wings. He's had, there's been metal wings and no blue skin, because he was made into one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse one time, and then he never like turned back into his normal color. So that's why I think he was blue in this moment.
Okay.
Lots to take in.
A lot, yeah. was his name was Angel, not Hawkman? Yes.
Angel.
Was he in that
or
picture?
Archangel, yeah. He was one of the five people in that photo.
Okay,
Beast,
so when I saw that
Scott,
picture,
Jean, yeah.
I thought it was Hawkboy, Hawkman, Hawk.
That's fair.
Person. Wait, sorry, you said it was Beast, Angel.
Yeah, Beast, Angel, Jean Grey, Scott, and Iceman, which we might meet. I would hope so, because he was in the first series but had left the school to go do other things. Now in the comic books present day, he has come out as gay, so it would be really good to get that character back in the show, because more representation. There you go.
Yeah
So
we do have an IC man in our Discord.
We do.
My jokes are getting worse. Happy birthday. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Storm saves Gambit, Rogue grabs Beast and Bishop, and calling it another Catch the X-Men Day, because that's all she would do in the original show. Cyclops, on the other hand, again making sure the audience knows that he's a badass, he lands himself on ground that thankfully is not populated by people, because I think he'd probably fuck it up. But yeah.
Questions
badass
abound.
Though.
Well, questions abound. How did he stop himself from slamming into the motherfucking ground with his eyeball laser beams?
So
and if you say concussive blast, I will punch you. I will drive to Canada tomorrow and punch you.
Well, I only say concussive blast, sorry, because it essentially can be just pushing. So he's pushing himself up with this blast, as opposed to like, cutting into the earth.
It looked like he was making the ground farther away, which, good on ya. It makes the fall longer, but the ground is still there to greet
you. More of a chance to slow down. I think he might have made a bit of a crater. But yeah,
he did. Yeah, he made the ground at least like 10 feet farther away, but that's just what, like a second, and then it's like boom.
And he slowed himself down, you know.
All right, I don't think I completely understand what a concussive burst blast.
It's blast.
Blast. It's a concussive burst. Blast.
That's some other X-Men.
I'm gonna do. Oh, the bursts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Concussive bursts is a different power set. That's a different guy.
One.
Oh, you froze a little bit. Are you back?
Yeah, I did. I'm back. I'm sorry. Somebody just mentioned me freezing in the Discord. Jeremy, I see you. And
they called it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. They made it. They willed it into existence.
Yep.
Okay. Jeremy, that's your fault. A lot of the rest of this is action. I'm going to blast through it. I promise. But you tell me if you've got a bunch of notes left.
Concussively? No, I've just got one.
So going around the room, Beast, they're all fighting Sentinels at this point. Trask is there. He calls a bunch of Sentinels that are not operating at 100%. They're pretty much like fractions of what they used to be. And Rogue tosses a few around. Wolverine slashes them apart. Beast throws one on his back and then says, "Might I induce you to a change of heart?" And then cannonballs down inside the Sentinel's chest and starts operating him from inside, which is amazing. But what made it more amazing is he quoted Casablanca afterwards saying, "Lewis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful involuntary friendship." I was like, that's who the fuck's gonna know that's from Casablanca? Great.
Not me.
The kids show? I was like, what? Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. Bishop and Gambit are kicking some ass. Wolverine gets chucked through Beast and the Sentinel, and they all regroup back together, and Cyclops gets on the comms and says, "Give him the forecast," which I thought was really cheesy, but also fun. And then you hear a Sentinel voice actually says that there's an Omega level threat detected. And Omega level threat mutants are basically the upper limits of mutant powers. Storm is one, Jean Grey is one, Magneto is one. There might be 10 others in the world, but that's it. Like, it's a very small list. Storm comes busting in and turns the desert sand to glass with lightning, and then smashes that glass up into a tornado and is just kicking the shit out of all those Sentinels and drops them all to the ground. And she gets to say one of her awesome kind of speeches or commanding lines. She says, "Ancient sands, heed my command and reclaim these relics of hatred." Is that too loud?
No, I don't think it's loud enough.
Someone's going to be like, "What's wrong with your microphones?" she always says something with her powers, which she doesn't have to, but I think she just does it because it's how she's always done it. So it's like, more power to you. Go for it.
Never mind. I'm not going to bring that up. Well, no, I will. In Thor: Love and Thunder, whenever Natalie Portman is trying to figure out what her like line is gonna be, like, Storm has figured out all of her lines for the rest of existence.
Oh yeah, she just is regarded as a goddess of the weather, goddess of nature in Africa. So she is very much like this, just super cool, super omniscient kind of character. Just says the coolest shit when conjuring the winds and stuff. It's awesome.
She does say some pretty cool shit.
Yeah.
She's a very cool character.
It's 100%. Something that Halle Berry has, like, they've never really gotten Storm right in the live action movies. Like, she's supposed to be pretty much a second leader to the group.
Yeah.
And Halle Berry always played it really, she was much shorter. She was just very kind of sheepish, just very kind of quiet. And I was like, this is not a good Storm, but whatevs.
I think that they did well on that in this, though. Because she does seem very commanding. And even in the second episode, there's a point where someone says, and now I can't remember who it is. Someone says something about her being a goddess and like...
Magneto. Yeah. Magneto really respects powerful mutants and their just mutants' powers in general. He's like, you know, you gotta respect your gifts. You gotta look up, you know, you're special. And he wants to make them feel really, really cool. So after killing all the small ones, Master Mold awakens and they get to do up the charged claws moment from the trailer that people were talking about on Twitter like crazy. So Gambit rides on Wolverine's back. He charges up Wolverine's claws, then throws his staff. Oh, yeah, we got to watch that trailer and react to it. He throws his staff to create an explosion to launch Wolverine up into the air. And he asks for a help from Morph, who then turns into an X-Men villain called Blob, who then boings him up to the top of the Master Mold with his big belly. And
does what? I'm sorry.
He boings him. He boings.
Boings.
Soft boinks. G, no hard K.
No hard anything?
No, not this episode.
Oh. Okay.
TVMA, I think, but. And then the military arrives just in time. They've de-headed the Master Mold character. Trask gets carted off. Cyclops turns to Cooper and says, Trask would rather humans and mutants go to war than work together. We all win when men like this fail. She tells him that he sounds like Charles. He takes a little smile at that finally, and then also immediately gives all credit to the team, which I think is very much a Scott thing.
Vanilla.
Yeah. What would you want him to do? Just be like, hey, it's all me. Not.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I get it.
He's a team player, and sometimes that gets boring.
Well, then you should read some of his comic book arcs, because there is some villainous Scott moments.
All right, sounds hot.
No, it's pronounced Scott. Jubilee and Roberto talking back at the mansion. She recounts what it was like when the X-Men took her in and how they'll accept him. She finds out that his parents don't know about his powers, and he says his powers are solar. They make him strong, but he's still not really sure how to use them. But every time he does, it reminds him of how he's deceiving his family, and he'd rather he doesn't even want to be himself, let alone be an X-Men. And then he goes home. It's unclear to me where he goes. He gives her a business card and then disappears.
He goes back to the rave and or maybe throws himself into the sun.
He's pulling an Icarus
style. Yeah.
I can't live with my decisions. Would you?
I'm sorry. Did Roberto have a Scottish accent?
Yeah, he was Scottish.
Oh, yeah. And then he said, Dios.
The world.
Dios.
Cersei. The team is all wearing 90s athletic gear for a game of basketball when the truth comes out that Scott and Jean might be leaving. But then before their reveal, it is interrupted by an intruder alert, and there's someone in the professor's office. They bust in on Magneto, who is returning the first class portrait back to the wall and reading Xavier's last will and testament. He announces to them that Xavier left the school and all of his fortune to him. The episode's closing.
Bum, bum, bum.
That hit my ears more than I expected it to.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay.
It's okay.
I meant.
The closing credits are a serious blast from the past. Holy shit, that made me laugh. That's what my notes say, and that was about what you were talking about, how it was on like the old computer screens and
AOL online.
Yeah, and they're rotating characters, and yeah. So that's what is your final note?
My final note is the proportions for the Sentinels are off during that fight scene. Because sometimes they look like they're the same size as the X-Men, and sometimes they're definitely larger, which they are definitely larger.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, they're enormous. Oh, I didn't
but
even
sometimes
that.
It's like they look like they're just regular dudes in Iron Man suits, and they're not.
Yeah, they look like, what are they called, Sentries? Instead of Sentinels. The Legion of whatever you call them.
Oh, the yeah.
What did he call them?
Little Ultrons.
Little Ultrons, mini Ultrons.
Centurions.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think that's right.
Yeah, it's okay. yeah, overall thoughts of the episode. What did you think? We know what you thought, but what did you think in summation?
In summation, by the end, I was more into it than I was in the beginning. But again, I think because I don't have the member berries of the original, it's just the first episode, at very least, I was kind of like, meh, okay. And then I was like, oh, 10 episodes?
what if? I'm hoping it was a little bit better than, especially because this being an animation where we're going to see the same characters carry on a story. Thank God, because that I was enjoying that part when the second episode ended. I was like, oh, thank God next week isn't something completely different that is going to get all wrapped up in one. Like, give me some animated story arcs.
Definitely better than What If, but that is if we buried the bar below. Stanley, what? That was rude. That was not very nice.
I won't tell.
It wasn't rude. It was just, I don't know. Unnecessary.
I think
okay. Okay.
Well, I mean, you know what I thought? It was a nice, delightful thing to wake up today, put my, with my cereal and my coffee and sit down like it was a Saturday morning when I was a child and get all those member berries and just num, num, num. They hit all the right boxes for me. I do think that the second episode has a bit more to offer. But I mean, because this, again, being a pilot or a first episode, they did do a lot of things that they've done already. They took out the Master Mold character. They took out Trask. They took out the Sentinels. That was all in the first two episodes of the original series. So I think it was like a big introduction.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm all good if you are to wrap up so we can get on to the next one.
All right. We probably should, because I think we said we were going to do like an hour and... We are both people who take notes. Brandon, we miss you, bud. You move us along real quick. do I do credits name and then close us out? Or which one do I do first? I don't remember.
I think closing us out first and then you ask credits name. I think.
All right. So closing us out. No. Okay, cool. Find us anywhere at Avengers Podcast on the socials. AvengersPodcast.com on the websites or patreon.com/AvengersPodcast for Patreon if you want to pay us some money. And if you did sit through this and you aren't angry, consider giving us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. We do appreciate that. It helps us going a long way with getting eyes and ears on the podcast, and we just appreciate it. And you know what? It would be a good birthday present for me if you didn't get me anything, and I did check the P.O. box today, and none of y'all did. A 5-star rating. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm absolutely kidding. I don't expect anything from any of you except for a 5-star rating.
Yeah.
Please, please, very much, please, and thank you. It would be a very nice birthday present for both me and Brandon's child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just saying.
Benny Bergs.
All right. So, I do have a credits name, and I might have written it down wrong because you have said this name a couple times during this episode, and you did not say the name that I wrote down.
if it's a credits name, I probably didn't say it right either. So don't feel too bad.
I don't think
these names out loud as a kid. So
okay, all right, well. All right, so our Wolverine is placed played by this is Cal Dude. Is it not dude? Like D-O-O-D spelled like dude, like a butthole hair?
Is that what a dude is?
Well, there's dude, D-U-D-E, which is like, you know, dude. But like, there's also dude, D-O-O-D, which is a butt, it's butthole hairs, butt crack hairs.
It's spelled D-O-D-D, Dodd.
Well, it looks like dude.
Let's call him dude.
Here's to you, Cal.
Here's to you, dude.
Butthole hair. Cheers and happy birthday.
He's going to come for you.
I, depending on what he looks like, I might enjoy it.
He's not bad.
All right. But yeah, that'll put us out of here. Keith, do you have any final words?
I don't, honestly. I'm just excited to get on to the next one. Let's do this.
All right. I'm going to say, in the words of Lady Gaga and Roberto in this episode, he says, I was born this way. I was born this way. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. Right track, baby. I was born this way. You can shut me up anytime you like. This doesn't need to be recorded anymore.